On the newsline with us now, Professor Alexander Riley's back on the radio. He's a Bucknell University sociology professor. He helped coordinate and bring together and tie all the elements together for the Bucknell series that continues, the 60s at 50. And he is talking about noted academic figures that are coming to the Penn, or to the Bucknell campus, one of which is going to be there this week, and that is Mr. Charles Kessler. So, Professor Riley, thank you so much for checking in.
Good morning, Mark. How are you this morning?
Good, good, good. Thank you. Reiterate, if you don't mind, just how critical this 60s look back is, because I just, every time you have a speaker here, I think, holy smokes, this is all happening all over again.
Right. This is it's a pretty big anniversary in a lot of ways. The 50 years since the critical year of 1968, is that's how we've timed it, at least, to get the title of the series. So there's just such a range of ways in which the 60s has affected American society and American culture. So we're trying as best we can in a series of six conversations with noted scholars from around the country to get a number of the most important of those elements. And this week's speaker, Charles Kessler, is a political scientist, professor of politics out at Claremont McKenna College in California, and he's the editor of the Claremont Review of Books. He's written a lot on specifically the political legacy of the 1960s, and especially the Lyndon Johnson administration and the Great Society and the effort that was involved there to try to fairly fundamentally transform American society and American polity.
Well, Lyndon Johnson is at the center of the talk and at the center of the era, really, in terms of making sure, I don't know how he did it, maybe just cajoling people to make sure that important civil rights legislation passed, even though, you know, quite a few people might have been opposed to it at the time, maybe opposed to it now. Will he talk about that skill that Lyndon Johnson had at convincing and knowing people enough that he could help them get important legislation passed?
Well, I certainly think we're going to get into some of those questions of the character and the particular political ability of President Johnson. The angle that Professor Kessler takes more broadly on in trying to understand the Great Society and its implications for American society today, though, is just to look at the, I think we might fairly say, at the expanse, at the ambition of the Great Society. It's kind of, it's one of those things that I, unless one has read some of the history and looked specifically into the particular programs, that can be easily forgotten exactly how ambitious the Great Society was and how fundamentally President Johnson was looking to change and to transform the society. And so Kessler has written a good deal on just how, not just in Johnson's administration, he actually traces this back historically back to the beginning of the 20th century and the birth of the progressive movement, especially with President Woodrow Wilson. Then he looks at the Roosevelt administration as well. In order to try to get a wide historical perspective on this effort from progressivism to, again, in Kessler's view, to really fundamentally transform American society, and in ways that I think in Kessler argues are not obviously consonant with the intentions of the founders of the country and with some deeper tradition, political traditions of the country.
Does he ever talk about maybe unintended consequences or pushback, like the government is much, much larger than it was then, and we often hear that, you know, of course, you and I have to pay for all of that. Well, is that, are we likely to hear that element on Thursday?
Oh, I think he's certainly going to touch on some of those aspects of the issue. Professor Kessler has written a good deal on the progressivist philosophy of politics, which is fundamentally directed toward trying to establish a kind of elite leadership class, basically. And I think it was in President Wilson's first effort to try to put this into terminology. He talked about the need for a well-educated class, essentially of intellectuals, to program and to run the machinery of government. And in Wilson's view, really, this was necessary because you had to have those specialists who would be able to inject real, genuine morality into politics. His view was really that the voters were more driven by subjective interests, and they weren't as as disinterested as they needed to be to actually get the country to go where it wanted. To do that, you needed leadership. You needed someone from the top down to push things. And at a relatively banal level, I think that's true, and most people wouldn't quibble with that. But Kessler argues that a problem emerges when the perspective really becomes that leadership has to become powerful enough, sometimes even to be able to reject the decisions of the people on the ground, and to tell the citizenry, well, you don't really have a good understanding of where things need to go, and so we're going to just step in and we're going to create a machinery by which we can make decisions and run things, whether you like it, the direction that we're going in or not. So Kessler's going to talk about, I think, how, again, that really gets elaborated, I think, in the Great Society in the 1960s, and the growth of government, the growth of bureaucracies and so forth within the government to make decisions often without much in the way of checks and balances from the electorate. That's really powerfully motivated in the 1960s, but I think it begins even before that.
One could ask more succinctly, how's that Great Society working out for you? You know, I mean, that's how my daughter would ask the question if she was here today. So, you know, we'll hear some of that on Thursday night. The Great Society, Transforming American Society, Economy, and Polity. The Lyndon Johnson Administration Efforts is what Dr. Kessler will talk about. In terms of what we remember about the 1960s, and especially up to and including 1968, this is really the heart of the matter. You have the Vietnam War, which is, of course, the major undertone through all of this, but now you have societies evolving for the better in so many ways. I guess just I'm going to ask you to flesh that out a little bit, that, you know, this is, I mean, Lyndon Johnson accomplished as much as FDR did, only and just did it in 4 years.
Well, he certainly did. He accomplished a good deal of what I think he set out to do. And the other part of the story is that, as you're indicating there, a good deal of the Great Society programs, in fact, were left sort of half finished or really only just started. I think at least in part because there was some recognition that the ambition was a little, there was a little bit of over ambition, in fact, and that the resources were really not available to pay for some of the programs, or that some of the programs, in fact, overreached in a way that they simply were utopian in some ways, that they expected that changes could be made that really were not likely to be possible, or at least not to be easily possible. And so I think that's one of the things that we'd like to talk about as well with Professor Kessler, is just especially now we're having a whole discussion in the political sphere about a Green New Deal, and a whole range of folks who are in the new Congress who are talking about trying to move in a direction which in some ways, at least for those of us who are veterans of the discourse of the 1960s, it sounds a little bit like that language of the 1960s, you know, to try to be very ambitious and to push very hard and spend and use a lot of resource and raise taxes and so forth in such a way as to accomplish a whole bunch of fairly utopian kinds of ideals. And I think there are going to be real questions going forward that are very similar to the questions and the debates that took place in the 60s. How much of this is really possible? How much are we willing to spend on some of these programs if it turns out that there's going to be a significant amount of cost involved, which I think if you look at some of those proposals, it's pretty clear that they are going to be expensive.
In some ways, did the changes that started taking place in America in the 1960s, or, you know, even back to Woodrow Wilson to talk about the start of the progressive movement, which you did, is that what led up to today, where a president who is not politically correct, who is verbose and outspoken about his viewpoints and decisive and likes to take action, did that nurture this type of a president to emerge?
Well, yeah, I think one wouldn't want to push the comparison too far, but I think there is a clear way in which the central political debate of today is something of a remaking or a reemergence of a debate that was going on, in fact, 100 or so years ago at the time of the emergence of progressivism in the early 20th century, end of the 19th century, early 20th century. It's basically progressivism of one variety or another in these two different periods, facing off against two different varieties, two historical spheres of populism. So again, Kessler has written about this. He's talked about how the Trump administration and the Trump phenomenon, if you will, represents a kind of return reemergence of populism to speak back to this dominant progressivist ideology and philosophy in American politics. Again, the parallel is not exact because the populism of the late 19th century, early 20th century didn't look exactly like Trumpian populism, if you will. But there are some parallels there, and so I think there's some interesting ways in which we're hopeful we'll be able to get at some of the, I think these are more or less eternal questions, if you will, of American polity, American government, maybe polity and government more generally. We're constantly returning to these kinds of debates, and how much do we want leaders to be making decisions, and how much do we want to emphasize the self-rule of the citizenry and their ability to make decisions. What should be the proper ambition of government? What is government supposed to be trying to do? And what are the things that are better left to other aspects of the society and the culture to handle? So these are very long-lived questions that we've been debating for a long time in American society. They really came into focus in the 1960s in a big way. We want to reflect on that and then reflect on how they're still meaningful and important today.
Well, and each leader, whether it's a conservative leader or a liberal leader that emerges through the presidential process anyway, are always so different than the ones before. So, you know, President Johnson was much different than previous presidents, and likewise President Obama and President Clinton were different, much different than Lyndon Johnson. So, and of course, all the conservatives, each stands on their own. Okay, well, please, a moment left to make a pitch for folks to consider attending Dr. Kessler's remarks on Thursday.
Well, I think, again, we're going to have a really fun discussion about a number of these topics that we've talked about, and there are all sorts of other ways that we didn't have time to get into I think this approach to the 60s and this approach to the Johnson administration really has some connections to what's going on today. Professor Kessler will be here on Thursday night, the 31st of January at 7 o'clock over in Bucknell Hall, as always. And we're hopeful we'll be able to get a lot of people out. I know the weather forecast is not great for that day. It's supposed to be pretty cold, but Bucknell Hall is a nice warm building. So we do hope that folks will be able to make it out and to join us for this important conversation.
Right, 5 degrees outside and 70 degrees inside with a hot conversation underway.
That's right.
How about that Thursday night? Well, thank you so much, Professor Riley. Very much appreciated. We'll talk to you in the weeks ahead. We know we got more speakers coming. We'll schedule some more dates and we'll have you back on the radio. Thank you, sir.
Very good. My pleasure. Thanks a lot.
I do appreciate that. Dr. Alexander Riley of Bucknell University, sociology professor, talking about the series of Bucknell that continues, the 60s at 50, that anniversary series that continues to bring noted academic figures to the university. This Thursday, 7 p.m., free and open to the public, reconsidering the Great Society and the LBJ presidency with Professor Charles Kessler of Claremont College. He's Harvard-educated author and book reviewer, comes with quite an academic resume, and he'll be on the campus Thursday night continuing these discussions on the campus of Bucknell University.